right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast, special solo summer edition. My name is Keith. I am here once again alone without my co-hosts, John or Chuck. And I know I keep calling these special, and I realize that I'm abusing the word. It can't all be special. It's like, if everyone is special, no one is. A very true axiom. But I do want to differentiate that these interview episodes, they're not the regular shows with John and Chuck. So that's all I'm doing. But that being said, today's special episode is actually very special because I am joined by Wade Baldwin IV and Brandon Wright, who were kind enough to call in before they head to Nashville as part of the Grizzlies regional caravan coming to Nashville on Saturday, August 20th. But before we get to the interviews, I want to let you guys know about the Over and Back Classic NBA podcast. It is a great summertime listen because they delve into the history of the NBA. They are currently doing a summer series of basketball mysteries of the 70s, which is an informative series for me because the 70s are a decade I know embarrassingly little about. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or you go to hardwoodparoxysm.com and listen to the Over and Back Classic NBA podcast. And in lieu of another plug, I just want to say we should all be thinking about the flooding in Louisiana, and if you got some money, go ahead and give it to Red Cross or any other organization. It's not hard to find a way to help, but definitely the displaced people of that region need our help. So again, maybe give a little extra, take your mind off the election, and give some money to people who need it at Red Cross. Okay, without further ado, here is Wade Baldwin IV. Hello, this is Keith.
Well, this is Wade.
Hey, Wade. So my name is Keith, and you're on my podcast, Fast Break Breakfast.
Hello.
And it's a tradition on our show that we talk about what we had for breakfast. Did you have a chance to eat breakfast this morning?
I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
That's all right. That is a common thing. I also have not eaten breakfast because it's kind of early for me. When you eat breakfast, though, do you have a what's your favorite kind of breakfast? Do you have a best case scenario breakfast?
I like pancakes and sausage.
Pancakes and sausage. That's perfect. It's a very strong way to start your day. Well, we're a podcast out of Nashville, Tennessee, so this is exciting for us to have you on because you went to Vanderbilt. And since I went to a lot of games at Vandy over the years, my dad used to have season tickets up in 3F. I want to ask you, how did you enjoy playing in Memorial Gym?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's different. I was talking to some of the guys I played against at Vandy. They were like, you came to your gym, and it was different. Blah, blah, blah. They said, you guys should never lose at home. It's a nice feeling with the crowd there. And Sears out of there, it was pretty special in terms of the crowd that came out, the support that the team had. And I definitely want to get down there and watch a game with the rest of the guys this year.
Had you ever been to a game before you committed and before you came to Vanderbilt?
Never. I think the only college basketball games I ever went to were Princeton, Rutgers, and Seton Hall games because they were right there in Jersey.
Gotcha. Yeah, and so we are an NBA-only podcast, so I'll tell our listeners that Memorial Gym at Vanderbilt, it's unique because the court is raised like a platform and you have the benches down on the baseline. So it's very, I guess it's disorienting for the visiting team to come in, and Vanderbilt normally has a really good record at home and a lot of great memories. What's your favorite memory from Memorial Gym? Like, what was your biggest win?
Favorite moment, Memorial, I would say probably two.
Yep.
Freshman year, we played South Dakota State, and fans were into it. We were a young freshman team, and being the NIT was so special to us. That game was a home game, and we won, and everybody played well. I think the last 2-3 minutes of the game were really exciting. I just remember Matthew hitting about four threes in a row, I think, and and it was just special seeing the crowd erupt as he went shot it. It was just an awesome feeling, watching that happen, and then. Of course, beating Kentucky this year at home with the Storm Court. That was my family was actually there for that game, so I had a lot more special meaning for me, but in terms of the team, you know, we were getting smacked by Kentucky at Rupp for the past 2 years pretty bad. The excellent team that they have, and they came to our place, and I think they lost by 12, and it was a good collective team win, and that was a special feeling, and got to be united with the fans.
Yeah, that's definitely a huge win anytime you take down Kentucky and all those guys. All right, so for NBA veterans, the offseason is, you know, a lot of time to take, some people, guys take vacation, they're spending time with family. But as a rookie, it seems like it's just nonstop. It's go, go, go. Like, you had to get ready for the combine and then the draft and then the summer league. And then you got to, you know, also move to a new city. So can you tell me how that experience has been for you?
Oh, man, I was living out of a suitcase up until about maybe a week ago, I think. Mm-hmm. Suitcase since I left for the pre-draft stuff in Chicago. You're just bouncing around, traveling, different teams, working out, going to the draft. It's a fun process going through it. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but they keep you really, really busy. Then just going straight out to Vegas for summer league for two weeks. Like, dang, out there. And I'm 20, I can't even go out, can't even do anything. Yeah. So I was in the hotel room and watching movies and stuff like that and just playing in the games. Transitioning back, I tried to find a place to live, living out of a hotel still. And then I had to go back out to Las Vegas for what they call a GERX camp.
Right
after GERX camp, straight to New Jersey for the rookie transition program. So, and that lasted about 4 or 5 days. And now, just getting back from there, this is my first week back here in Memphis with a moved in house and trying to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, you really haven't had any chance to relax. Have you picked up Pokemon Go or anything so you can entertain yourself while you're on the move the whole time?
You know what? I downloaded the app. I've never opened it. I don't know why, but I just went on the go. But the only thing I'll really be looking at is Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, messages, and listen to music. That's about it.
Yeah, that's good. So when you come from college, I assume, like, even in high school and in college, it's a very structured environment where you have practice, you have class, you have a lot of supervision. And so now you transition to the NBA where there's not someone looking over your shoulder. And especially, like, you know, I guess it might have been convenient for you to be, you know, to only 20 in Las Vegas, because then you get plopped down in Vegas and you have less supervision. So how do you plan to balance, like, these newfound freedoms with your personal goals and your responsibilities?
You just gotta stick to your morals. You know, I'm not really the type of guy to go out and be all crazy. It's just doing what you're supposed to do. And just goes back to that phrase, you're supposed to do without anybody looking. Like, you know what I mean? So I think I have to follow that and just move forward. You gotta act like a professional. You're getting paid millions of dollars for this game. And you don't want to act like a kid anymore. A lot of demands on how you act, how you eat, how you treat people, what you do. Everything kind of matters a lot now.
Yeah, no doubt. Do you think that was instilled, maybe that moral, was that instilled with you, like, from your parents? I've read a lot about your parents. Apparently they're both law enforcement officers. Is that right?
Yes.
And do you think they gave you that strong moral code or you know, taught you how to be that way?
I do. I just think that, you know, I just surround myself with people who are similar to me. You know, I'm hanging around guys who love playing video games, who love playing basketball. And, you know, that's just a great thing for me. I'm kind of a laid-back guy. I have a small group over or something like that, but I'm all about doing what's right.
Well, that sounds great. It sounds like that's going to serve you really well. Going back to Las Vegas Summer League, what for you was the most rewarding part of that experience?
Rewarding part?
Yeah.
You know, I think what it is, I think and I've been saying this for a while, the summer league, the Birds camp, rookie transition program, it gives you an opportunity to almost branch outside yourself. And there's so much competitive, like, stickiness in the air when you get around a lot of, you know, NBA guys, especially rookies, to come out of college. Their teams might have beaten you, so on and so forth. And the biggest thing I got out of it was connecting with other guys. I mean, we're all in a players association. We're all in one fraternity. And although we compete against each other on the highest level at the highest degree, not friends on the court, off the court, and these guys are avenues to different things in your life. And I've learned that, you know, it's cool meeting Torian Prince. I know he beat us 2 years when he was at Baylor. I hated him. I hate going against him. I hate playing against him. He's such a competitive guy. But me and him were real close at the rookie transition program. So those, and in the summer league. So those things, I think, get you acclimated with everybody else, and it just helps improve your game.
Yeah, so connecting with those other guys, like at the Gurgurich camp and at summer league, what did you come away? What did you come away thinking that maybe you needed to improve the most in your game?
Well, a real fundamental answer. I'm a perfectionist almost, so I want to be the best at everything. If they tell me, you know, you know, put you on the block or in the post up, I want to be the best at, you know, doing a jump hook left and right hand. I try to improve my game on everything, and I try to instill that with the coaching staff we have here, that, you know, I just don't want to be limited to one thing. Obviously, if you guys have a step plan for me, then we're going to work on that. But outside of that, you know, I want to do things that, you know, other players aren't doing. If they're just shooters and they just want to shoot, you know, 1,000 shots a day, I want to shoot, you know, 1,000 shots a day and do something else. Just be great at another thing. That's just kind of the mentality that I have and I want to keep, you know, going through my career.
That's great. As a Grizzlies fan, I'm happy to hear that, man. I hope you keep perfecting all those skills. One of the benefits I think you might have had at Summer League was you actually got – you got an early introduction to the Grizzlies' new coach, David Fizdale.
Right.
What are your early impressions of Coach Fiz?
And Coach Fizdale is not only a good coach, but a remarkable person. His character is just great. I mean, he's just easy with the players in terms of managing and being a good guy, being someone you could, you know, laugh around, speak to. He's just been nothing but open arms to not only myself, but the other, you know, I think 20 guys are on this program, on this team right now.
Has he given you any indication what he's looking for you, like from you specifically for the upcoming season?
Coach Fizz is real simple, man. He just said, play hard.
Yeah.
Play with intensity. He talks slow, looks you in the eye, just be aggressive, Wade. That's been his message to me all summer long, and especially at the summer league, man, just be aggressive, make mistakes, it's okay. Be aggressive. That was his message to me.
That's good. How did you feel that you did? Did you feel like you did that at summer league? Like, did you feel like you were aggressive, or like, were you content with how you played, or happy with how you played? Or
no, I would have graded. I would have graded my summer league about a C.
Okay,
that's probably. I didn't hit a jump shot the entire summer. I didn't play four games. Didn't make a jump shot, which is very. Unlike me, and it was very weird and frustrating feeling, but I had to adjust. I had to impact the game in other ways, whether it was getting to the free throw line and giving out assists or being a presence on the court. I had to do something different because my jump shot wasn't clicking for me.
Yeah, that's good. And it seems like that's a lot of the ways that rookies contribute in the NBA their first season, just finding, you know, like if the shot's off, finding a way to contribute on the defensive end, or, you know, locking down your guy or getting in the passing lanes.
Right.
So do you pay attention when you were drafted by the Grizzlies, do you pay attention to things like the Grizzlies roster and depth chart as far as looking at it and seeing like, yep, hey, you know, they got Mike Conley, they got Tony Allen, but then behind them on the bench, there's a lot of unestablished guys. Like, do you look at that and think, you know, there's a big opportunity for me, you know, if I show up and I compete and I go aggressive?
Absolutely. This goes back to competitiveness. See what's ahead of me. And each day you gotta now reprove yourself that you're able to play at that level, able to be trusted to be put on the NBA court. Obviously, I know experience, nothing to go by. I'm kind of being thrown to the wolves, in a sense. But, you know, the way I look at it is proper preparation will lead to, you know, playing time, having an impact on a team full of guys who have been together for so long. I think Conley and Mark and Zach and Tony have just been playing with each other for years now, making playoff appearances. And now we've got Chandler Parsons, who's fantastic and, you know, a veteran and, in my opinion, an NBA Hall of Famer, Vince Carter, that can, you know, help us young guys get acclimated with the NBA, the team. It's a process, it's a competitive thing within the team and across the league. And definitely, I look at that depth chart, wanting to be that the next guy off and whatever role I can fit on the team is what I'm going to do.
That sounds great. I've seen a couple conflicting reports. What number are you wearing this coming season?
I'm wearing 4.
You're wearing 4. Okay. Like I saw 2 for a while, and it was 2 in all the press conferences, but then I saw on the website it was 4, and that's what you wore in college. So
yeah,
that's good. And also, one of our listeners wanted to know, are you going to go with the Roman numeral on the back? Is it going to be Baldwin 4 or just Baldwin?
Yes, I'm not Wade Baldwin. That was like my great-grandfather. So
okay,
I'm strictly a 4. And everything that I do.
I like it. All right, to wrap up, I don't know if you're aware, but last year, Festus Ezeli, he was back at Vanderbilt. He was passing out a bunch of Warriors gear. And that was kind of bugging me because I feel like Nashville should be a Grizzlies, you know, Grizzlies country. So I don't know if you were going to step it up this year and maybe come back to Vanderbilt and pass out a bunch of Grizzlies stuff.
I could not. When I went down to Nashville and got my car, I actually didn't have any Grizzlies gear at the time.
Oh yeah, so
I may have to, but I got to be careful on who I give it to. I can't give it to any of the college guys to go get on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All in trouble.
Not the players. We don't cause any trouble.
I want to give it to them, but if they have stuff there, I actually don't have a lot of Grizzlies stuff. I probably have a couple shirts just for myself.
We gotta hook you up with the team, man. We gotta get the promotions department, the media people, you know, they gotta set you up something. We can't have Warriors fans walking around Nashville, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we can't. Hopefully they'll come down to Memphis.
Yeah. Last question. So your parents, I read, so your mom is in the FBI and your dad's DEA, is that right?
Yes.
So because you have two parents in government service, I'm curious, do you have any conspiracy theories that you believe in?
No.
Any fake moon landings or secret societies? Nothing?
Absolutely not. No. No, I trust. I trust what I see and I hear. I'm not a big conspiracy guy. I kind of just watch, pray, and applaud the people that, you know, serve our country.
Well, that's good. It'll disappoint the resident conspiracy theorists on our show, but it sounds like you're a level-headed guy. It sounds like you're very competitive and you're going to do great things for the Grizzlies. So I really appreciate you taking time to talk to us, and good luck with the Grizzlies regional tour coming to Nashville, and good luck on the season.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Wade. Have a good day. All right. That was really good stuff from Wade Baldwin, who seems like he will fit in with the Grizzlies locker room because he is all about basketball, all about getting down to business. I should point out, too, that he actually called in early. I assumed NBA player time would be kind of like rock show time, where it just kind of happened when it happened. But I guess you could read that as he wanted to get it over with. But I choose to think he is just that focused and driven. He's one of those, if you show up on time, you're late. So, good stuff from Wade Baldwin. All right, I want to tell you guys about Fan Essentials. You guys, if you're longtime listeners, you know about FanEssentials.net is a subscription service for the sports fan where they give you unique gear sent to your house monthly. They have boxes starting at just $14.99. You enter the code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast, you'll get 30% off and we'll get a couple bucks back to us. So go to FanEssentials.net and get all the essentials you need. Okay, get that skip button ready. I'm going to insert an annoying commercial. So everybody, let's jump to Brandon Wright in 3, 2, 1. This is Keith.
What's up, man? It's Brandon Wright.
Hey, Brandon. Thanks so much for joining me.
No problem, man.
Yeah, I would say, well, first and foremost, Grizzlies fans, I think we want to know, how's your knee doing?
He's doing well, man. I'm on the upper trend. I should be back to my explosive form this year, so I'm excited.
That sounds great. That's good. That's good to hear. So yeah, you're on Fast Break Breakfast, and I already talked to Wade because we have a tradition about talking about our breakfast each time we podcast.
Got you.
Did you have a chance to eat breakfast today?
Yeah. I eat the same thing pretty much every day.
Okay, what is that?
I'm always eating the two staples of all the time. I'm always going to have oatmeal and some type of eggs. Usually it's I like to boil the eggs. I usually take out the egg yolk, and sometimes I'll scramble them every now and then. And I'm 75% of the time I go with turkey bacon. Every now and then I'll switch it up and go with turkey sausages or chicken sausages, depends on what's going on. And then I'll have a little fruit. So it's pretty consistent every day, same thing, doesn't change, and it's got me a long way.
Man, that is a fantastic breakfast. You sound like you are definitely on top of your breakfast game. I got to say, Wade, he hadn't eaten breakfast yet this morning. I think that's a sign of his youth. I think you're showing that you are a veteran. Like, you've been in this league. Like, you're an adult. You know what you're doing for your breakfast. So I think you need to take him under your wing and show him how to do breakfast just right.
Oh, I definitely look out for him, man. I was like that, too. I mean, I was, eating breakfast sometimes. And he'll learn, though, because, you – without, fuel in the tank and having that first meal of the day, you can't perform at the level you want to. And, I have a wife and a kid and, all those things. So, it's just standard procedure to do those things.
You definitely got a handle on that. So one of the exciting things about you being on our show is you are one of the only NBA players in history from Nashville. So, and that's makes us excited. And one of the cool things about being in Nashville is I'm always running into people who have some connection to you, and they always speak so highly of you. Actually, just last night, I was playing with my kid in a park, and I ran into a Coach Montgomery, who said to say hello from Brentwood.
Montgomery, yeah, he's a real good guy, man. Love him.
So what does it mean? I hear you're still really active in the Nashville community with basketball camps and such. So what does that connection to Nashville mean to you, and what kind of stuff are you doing here?
Well, it's great. I mean, you always want to have, leave a footprint. And you always want to leave some type of legacy. And, especially the last 3, 4, 5 years, it's been me, getting involved with the youth as far as basketball. I've been doing an annual camp for the last 4 or 5 years. I do it over at Brentwood Academy. I'm always over there, talking to those high school kids, middle school kids. They come up to me, we talk, anything they want to know, I tell them. I also... Over the last 2 years, I've started my own girls' basketball organization, Team Brandon Wright. We do high school girls' basketball, so that's been going well, and then hopefully it continues to grow. But been having fun, and you always want to be able to lead kids down the right path. There's so much going on in this world that can deter them from being successful. So you just want to give them all the proper steps.
That's great. So Nashville isn't an NBA city. So I'm curious, when you were growing up, were you a big NBA fan?
Yeah, I was an NBA fan, man. I was just, I just watched whoever was on TV and, the TNT games and the games on NBC. Whoever was on, I tried to watch. And, it's the game is so, you know, so national and so global now that you can watch games on your phone. So that's not a problem. But, you know, back in the day, you know, I just watched whoever was on TV and I took advantage of it. And I always wanted to play in the NBA. I've been saying this since I was like 3 or 4 years old. And it's weird, you know, it got more and more real every single year.
Yeah. So at what point did you realize that, you know, the NBA could be a real option for you, that you were an NBA prospect?
I think it was probably my freshman year in high school when I, you know, went up against a group of college guys that were, you know, first team, second team, all conference, you know, first, second team, third team, all Americans. And, you know, I held my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a little strength on me, but we were the same size as far as height, and, you know, skill level was pretty close. And, you know, I really, you know, really was really successful. And then I realized that I could really do that thing because, you know, now I'm playing against a lot of these guys, you know, for the last almost 10 years now. And it's just weird to look back on things like that.
Yep. So when you were in high school, you actually went up against Mark Gasol in the playoff. Did you play him more than once or just once? Do you remember?
No, we just played him in the state championship game my freshman year in 2003.
Yeah. So looking back, how surprised are you that Mark Gasol you played in high school has ended up being an all-NBA center, has been an all-star game starter, a defensive player of the year?
I wasn't surprised at all. And, you know, I get that question a lot from a lot of people. I mean, you know, back then he was a lot bigger. You know, he definitely is taking care of his body. But, man, his skill level was probably one of the best skill levels I ever played against any high school player. You can tell that his brother was an NBA player. You know, you can tell that his skill level was high. I mean, he was shooting the ball with such ease back in high school. You know, he had the up and unders. You know, his footwork was tremendous. I mean, you know, a lot of people ask me that, and I say, you know, I'm not very surprised, man. He got his body under control, and, you know, he went over after high school and played some years and got some experience, and, you know, here he is now.
Yeah. So you're saying if you were a GM, you wouldn't have let Marc Gasol fall to the second round. You would have went ahead and grabbed him.
Well, you know, the draft process, you know how it is. It's definitely a crapshoot. You know, to me, you know, a lot of kids get caught up in the first round, second round undrafted thing, but it's all about when you get where you get and, you know, get an opportunity to play and, you know, just do what you do best. And, you know, Tristan Thompson said it after the finals. He just said, be a star in your role. You know, don't try to do anything that you can't do. You know, do what you do best and you'll be successful.
Yeah, that's good. And that seems like something that you've based your career on, where you focused on the fact that, like, you're an elite finisher, you know, a fast athletic player. And so, like, you see guys, a couple guys like you and DeAndre Jordan, Tyson Chandler, who have really, you know, like, your field goal percentage, you know, like 65% from the field, 70% from the field. So I think you're definitely an embodiment of that, you know, focus on what you do. And then, you know, you carve out your niche in the league, right?
Yeah, that's what you do. I mean, you just work hard at it. And, you know, things fall into place. You know, you have opportunity to go to certain teams and, you know, they believe in you and you'll just continue to get better. And, you know, each year you get better at those little things that you're probably not as good at, but you always continue to do the things you're best at. And then I think it'll take you a long way.
So last summer when the Grizzlies entered free agency, they didn't have a lot of cap room. And I think they surprised a lot of the league by signing you to the mid-level exception. And it was commonly reported it was like a hometown discount. First of all, what made you choose the Grizzlies, and did you think you were giving them a hometown discount?
Well, you know, it was an opportunity where I could have went to a couple of different teams for more money, but, you know, going to the Grizzlies is close to home. You know, organization is on the uprise. You know, although we had a coaching change, I feel like, you know, our players we have and the new staff and everything is going well. I think we're on the upper. You know, we got a lot of veterans. You know, the biggest thing this year for us to overcome is just the injury thing. I think if we stay relatively healthy, we'll be a strong team in the Western Conference and we'll be able to do some damage. But, you know, this is an opportunity for me to, you know, go to a team that's established, that's won a lot of games. And, you know, I look forward to playing for a lot of years, you know, just not just these last 2 years of my contract, but, you know, all the way down to the end.
Yeah. So you mentioned the injuries last year, and obviously it was a frustrating year for you personally with injury. And then again, the whole team seemed to be ravaged, you know, by injuries. Were you able to use some of your experience? Cause you've had some bad luck with injuries in your career. Were you able to use some of those experiences and encourage like Mike and Mark and Jordan Adams and everybody else who was going down with injury?
You know, it's crazy. You know, I've never been in a situation where the team had so many injuries, but the whole team was so professional about what they were doing. Everyone was doing what they were supposed to be doing as far as trying to get back and help the team. Obviously you want to be on the court. You know, mm-hmm. it was tough to see the way we ended. You know, we lost so many games, you know, that last 3 or 4 weeks, and, you know, we didn't perform to the level we wanted to in the playoffs. But, you know, guys really did the best they could to get their bodies ready for the off season and you know, progress in their rehab. And I think we're going to be all right when, you know, we get this thing rolling. You know, we're going to have a preseason where, you know, we're going to try to get guys back going, and we, you know, we'll be cautious about, you know, how we want to use guys. But I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about the Grizzlies' prospects this season. And one of those reasons is the big free agent signing is Chandler Parsons. There was a lot of reports that Mike Conley was recruiting him really hard, as was Coach Fizdale. But you were teammates with Chandler for a little bit in Dallas. So did you reach out to him? Were you part of that process of recruiting him?
Oh, Dad, I reached out to him, you know, a couple of days before free agency started. I was like, man, just give us a shot, you know, and you know, we talked a couple times, and, you know, he said he definitely had interest in the Grizzlies, and, you know, it was a great blessing for us to get him, and he's a versatile player, you know. You know, me and him played great in Dallas. He's an easy guy to get along with. We can just plug him in, and he'll fit right in. And, you know, I'm excited about this team. We got, like you said, we got a lot of veterans. You know, I think our pace and speed will go up tremendously this year as far as the way we play, and, you know, I think we'll be a threat.
Yeah, you had a lot of success in some of that time with Chandler in Dallas. Your offense, the Dallas Mavericks offenses, were some of the most efficient in the league. And a lot of that was you kind of cutting to the goal, rolling to the basket, surrounded by shooters like Dirk and Chandler and other guys. But the Grizzlies have always had trouble kind of creating that space and normally play with, you know, two traditional bigs. So do you anticipate this season having more space, having more pace, and being able to do more of those lobs type things?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be great. And you know, last year we couldn't get to it. You know, we had so many injuries, guys right. getting out of the lineup, and, you know, bad luck, whatever you want to call it. But this year, I think it's gonna be great. I think, you know, looking forward to having a healthy Mike, and you know, me and Mark, I'm looking forward to playing with him, and, you know, all the guys we already have. You know, Chandler, with the bringing him in, even our young guys that are still trying to establish themselves. I mean, we went from a, you know, lower middle league of athleticism to, you know, I would say probably say in the top 10. So I think we can do some things. I think we can play above the rim. I think we can get out in passing lanes and get steals, you know, fast breaks, transitions. And, you know, it's going to be exciting, man. I'm really pumped for the year.
Yeah, I've definitely made the joke in the last couple months the Grizzlies have, I don't know, quadrupled the number of guys on the team who could catch an alley-oop. Like, for a while there was no one really, you know. It was like they were running back picks for Jared Bayless like 3 years ago. But now, now they got you, and, you know, like Jamichael Green can get up, Deontay Davis, a young guy, can get up, Wade Baldwin, you know, he showed it off in summer league. So should be an exciting team.
No, it's going to be great, man. I'm excited, man. You know, I'm excited to get up above the rim and show what I could do. And, you know, it's going to be fun, man. It's great coaching staff, you know, a lot of energy, energetic. And I think the front office is behind what we're doing.
Yeah. Sometimes there's a bit of a rivalry. Like, I'm a Grizzlies fan in Nashville, grew up in Nashville, but when the Grizzlies came in 2001, like, I jumped in hardcore. But sometimes there's a bit of a rivalry, you know, like friendly rivalry between Memphis and Nashville. So I got to ask you, and you can choose not to answer, but what's your favorite barbecue restaurant?
Well, in Nashville or Memphis, which one?
Well, no, I'm asking you, what's your favorite barbecue restaurant?
Oh, man, that's tough, man.
But if you got to go both cities, that's fine.
You know, when I was younger, man, I used to eat at Rendezvous all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we you know, obviously we traveled down to Memphis a lot for a lot of basketball tournaments. And it's still up there, but, you know, recently I've been really, really, like, liking Martin's Barbecue.
Martin's Barbecue's so good.
So, you know, they're real close. Like, it depends on what the day is. I'm going to have to flip a coin, but, you know, those two restaurants are right there. You know, and they're not the same. They're different. But at the same time, I can still eat either one on any given day.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm a big Martin's fan. I live very close to a Martin's in Nashville, so I'm eating there probably once a week. now, the Grizzlies are kind of to wrap up, the Grizzlies are a small market team, and a lot of time it's tough for us fans to get maybe some insight into the personalities on the team, some of the quirks of the players that I feel like we would get if it was like a bigger city. So I'm asking you, are there any notable like quirks of your teammates that we haven't heard about? Or does anybody have any like weird pets or do pranks or anything like that?
Oh man, Tony Allen, he's a hilarious guy.
Yeah.
You know, I love being around. He always lightens the day up. You got to have people like that in your locker room, you know, 82 games. You know, last year we went through a lot as a team, you know, wasn't always the greatest, you know, greatest feelings and mood, but you know, as a guy, having a guy like that is always going to lighten the room, you know, put a smile on people's face and then keep everyone on their toes. But, you know, we got a real, you know, we do have a lot of more young guys this year. They haven't played, but, you know, this is a very, very professional team. A lot of old guys, a lot of guys have played in this league for a long time, and we're really about winning, and we just want to get this thing going. But, you know, the group meshes well, and the front office did a good job of putting us together.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of really focused guys, but I'm still looking for that. I need a prankster. I need stories of practical jokes, but it's all good. I prioritize winning, so I'm fine if that doesn't happen.
You know, it's tougher, man, on a team like this, man, where you got so many guys who just want to win. We just, a lot of us, we all got kids and all that stuff like that. So we come in, we want to get down to business, we want to get back home, hang with the family, and then we want to win games.
Yep. All right, last question. Have you been watching the Olympics at all, and have you seen team handball?
I have not seen team handball, but, you know, it's some interesting sports in the Olympics, for
well,
sure.
Here's the thing. You need to look into team handball, and maybe, you know, and however long you play in the NBA, or maybe even in the offseason, I feel like you would be incredible at team handball. And, like, Team USA, we don't even have a Team USA in the Olympics this year playing handball. I think you should get you a couple buddies, and you guys would go dominate this thing. It's incredible.
Maybe we should get that thing together and try to go attack it in 2020 in Japan.
That's what I'm saying. Man, if you need any help, we're here for you. I'm going to get that team handball together.
Appreciate it, bro.
All right, Brandon, thank you so much for taking time. Hope you have a good time in Nashville doing the Grizz Caravan. And look forward to seeing you playing this fall, this winter. Good luck on the season.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, Brandon. All right, that was really fun and exciting for me. Thank my guests, Brandon Wright and Wade Baldwin IV. I thank the Grizzlies for allowing them to come on our sometimes less than reputable show. I hope you guys all enjoyed it too. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud. Leave us a 5-star rating. Stick around for when John and Chuck make their triumphant return again. Follow us on Twitter at FastBreakBreak. Like us on Facebook. Go to rabble.tv. We need people rabbling the Olympic Games. You can check out hardwoodparoxysm.com. Go to fanessentials.net. All right. Thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.